Ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, or in chapter 8. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, Daniel is told, listen, Daniel, you're worried. I know the people aren't ready to go back, but I, Gabriel, am sent to tell you this. Verse 24 of Daniel 9 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Listen to this. Upon thy people and thy holy city to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's the program. And he's taking coals from an altar that is going to purge the sins of this world. Isn't that cool? I just got to tell you, we're looking for that. Then he's going to make Israel right with him. He's going to eclipse the nonsensical behaviors of their old generations. And he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. And Israel's going to be restored. He's going to purge their iniquity. He's going to make an end of transgression. He's going to get them on board with him 100%. 144,000 Jewish evangelists in chapter 7, and now throughout the end of this tribulation, which we would call the Great Tribulation period, he's going to bring these people up close and personal to himself, and this purging that will take place as a result of this fire and so forth being brought down is going to open their eyes wide open. I know there have been times when I was a little boy again, and I was very, very scared. I remember my parents when I was little. I was probably 8 or 9. They took me to see the movie, The Night of the Living Dead. I was 9 years old. This borders on child abuse because I am sitting there. My eyes were wide open and I'm like, what? Literally, I got home that night. I could not sleep because if you crawled up on my bed and you looked out on my backyard, it looked just like the black and white movie I'd just seen. And I was scared. And what God is going to do at this time of great tribulation is he's going to open their eyes wide and they're going to see him whom they pierced ultimately. But they're going to know it's him by the things that are going to transpire here. So what we've seen thus far is the significance of this hour. We've seen that there is a half an hour where he's been silent. We've seen that there is an altar that is significant in many levels, and that there's a purging that's going to go on in these first few verses it talks about, because that is what he did with that altar in the past. It's what he said he would do in Daniel 9, and it's what he's going to do as he begins to test the world by virtue of all of the calamities that will come. So we've seen the significance of the hour. Let's see the substance of the hour. Verse 6 says, and the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Wow, what a cool day that's going to be. Things are going to start unfolding again very, very quickly. Because what you have to understand is there's not only seven trumpets, but there are also seven bowl judgments that are going to come. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see some supernatural occurrences taking place. The Bible says the first angel sounded in verse 7, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. This is a big deal. But it's not just a big deal. We're talking a third of the trees. We're talking a third of the grass. You know, I'm telling you, that's a lot of trees. That's a lot. Have you ever driven across some of these states like Virginia, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania? Trees everywhere. One third are going to be wiped out. And God's the one that's going to do it. So when you talk about the environmental movement of our day, they're going to have more of an issue with him than with anybody. I think it was Charlie that told me not long ago. He said, you know, this wildfire problem they got out there in California. Part of the reason that that is a problem out there is because the environmentalists would not let them timber the national parks. And so when a fire started, it created a little bit of a tinderbox. And it's because the nonsensical behaviors of man brought forth the catastrophic outcomes. Well, God is going to destroy one-third of the green grass, one-third of the trees. But what is significant here to notice as well is that it is fire and hail and it's mingled with blood. And it answers deliberately to the book of Exodus. Because it was in the book of Exodus that we find these plagues are echoed from. Because in the book of Exodus, the Bible tells us that there was a plague in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 24. And it was a plague where hail and fire fell down, and it destroyed anybody who was out in the midst of the field. So the mingled with blood thing came from the animals and men who were outside when this fire and hail fell down on Egypt in that day. And so this is a reminder. We got hail, we got fire, and we've got it mingled with blood in verse 7. Remember Israel. Remember world. People who had the Bible stories, the 10 plagues. This is a revisitation of that. So you will know who I am. So you will know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. As a believer, I see it periodically. I poke through this shadowlands and I realize I'm moving stuff from one place to another. All the time. I mean, you get one of those time-lapse photos, right? It's like on a work site. You see men moving around. It's like crazy. That's our lives. You're moving the trash can to the curb. Moving the trash can to the back, you know. You're moving the furniture around. You know, you're getting new siding and you're throwing the old siding away, and then you're going to the store and you're coming back from the store and you're going to the store and you're coming back and you're going around the same circle. My point is this. You and I have absolutely nothing down here that abides. It's God's. And that means that when the world in which the lost man finds himself is utilized and he begins to think of himself as owning the things that he has possession of at the moment, he needs to remind himself that the earth is the Lord's and that he is taking the things that God has made and he's using them to satisfy himself as if he had a right to do so. The lack of humility is staggering when people do not realize there's a God who owns it all. And so what God is doing in these plagues is he's letting everybody know, by the way, that's mine. That tree, that grass, that beauty, it's mine. And I can take it away. I won't take it all away. I'm going to take a third of it away in a hurry so you'll know it is mine. All souls are mine, the Bible says. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And so he does. He begins to enter the fray. First trumpet is green grass. Now that's going to be a problem because we understand that the blood and all of that and the mingling of that, we know it's not just going to hit grass, a third of the grass, a third of the trees, but there's going to be a whole lot of crops wiped out. So God is ramping up the famine problem people were down there. Remember chapter 7? That they would no more thirst, no more hunger. We've got the green grass, we've got the trees gone. And then it says in verse 8, and then the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Remember that? If we miss the first connection, the second one is almost unmistakable. When Pharaoh was belligerent and he was obstinate and he was resistant and rebellious and he had an opportunity to let the people go and worship, he said, no. And the Bible tells us that he was told by Moses, that Moses would turn the water to blood. He told him he would do it before he did it. This is one of those prophecies. You don't think it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. He says, well, then I'm going to turn the water to blood. And the fish are going to stink. It's going to be odious to you. Because why? Because Pharaoh thought, that river is mine. He said, am I not a god? Have I not taken this river, Nile, and I've put these waterways into the inland and created a fertile place? Look what I have done. And God says, just watch. That's mine. You've manipulated some dirt, but that water's mine. And he touched the water and he turned it to blood. He says, this is something you need to remember. And by the way, that would be in Exodus chapter 7. And verse 17 and following. You see, if you were to look at these and alliterate them, you would see, first of all, burning. burning because fire and hail are coming down. Now we see a blockade because what are you doing? If you're going to take a land, that title deed was the title deed to the earth. He's going to come and he's going to put a foot on the land and on the sea. He's going to take back the earth. He's going to be King Jesus. He's coming again. That's going to be cool because we will be coming with him. And that title deed means that as he begins to throw all of these things from the heavens to the earth, it's in preparation of overtaking the earth and reclaiming the earth. And subsequently, the whole earth will know it's him when he arrives. So we would have, if you're going to occupy the place, you start breaking off the supplies to the world. If you have a kingdom that you're going to have lay a siege to, you might stop all of the good stuff coming in. You know, they would stop up rivers and say, no water's going in that city. They're going to get thirsty and hungry. And eventually they'll come out and throw themselves to us for mercy. So God turns the water off. He turns it to blood here at this point. And this is the sea. He'll get to the fresh water. But the sea, because this is a blockade, because what it is doing is it's not just turning the sea to blood, but it says a third part of the creatures of the sea were killed. And then a third part of the ships were destroyed. That's the shipping world. These people, you know, we all depend on ships, right? You get your ships and you got your trucks on. But this is knocking down all of the free flow of supplies and help. You know, we quickly go into Katrina. We quickly go into Irma and Harvey. We go in there right now, man. But if you got nobody, you got nobody. And you're in there with your own head, your own thoughts, and you're thinking how scared you are. Would to God people would think about that more often, about what the vulnerability is that is theirs. So God sent burning on the earth, third of the green. He sent blood on the earth, or if we would more, a blockade, because he's basically turning off their free flow of access to help. Verse 10 says, and the third angel sounded, and there was a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, which literally means undrinkable. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So understand, God has set up a burning. He set up a blockade. They can't get supplies, and the fish stench would be coming into the world. And then thirdly, he sends bitterness. And this bitterness that he sends is a bitterness of the waters. And again, this answers to times in the Old Testament where waters were made bitter and people could not drink. And the Bible says there's going to be more later in chapter 12, which we will get to later. But this bitterness is a huge deal because it's his water. It's his air. You know, we all are sitting here right now and we have a miracle going on every second or so. It's a little spark right in your chest. It's a little tiny little spark right now, right in your chest. It's not your spark. You have no power over that spark. It's God's spark. And the moment he says, I'm taking the spark away, we hit the ground. You see, we live upon a thin line. What was once referenced by Jonathan Edwards in his great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That we live in slippery places, the passage he takes. And he says it's as if God hangs the man who is lost over the abyss of eternal damnation. And he has him between finger and thumb. And all he has to do with every propagation, all he would have to do is just simply open those two fingers and allow them to perish. They provoke every moment. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. It says, do you not know that while you were yet enemies, God made peace through the blood of his cross in Ephesians. While we were enemies, he made peace. We were enemies. I brought that up this week with the guy. I talked to him about it. I said, you know, we're enemies. He said, well, I'm not an enemy. I think he's all right. I just don't really know what to do with it. I don't want to do it. I said, no, everything we've ever done has influenced somebody else. And our sin makes us more culpable than ever. Our children, our wives, our husbands, our neighbors, our moms, our dads, we bruise, we trip up, we scandalize. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.